Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so there's one Florida man. I was reading this. This is in the Mirror in Tampa Bay, where the guy would not, he didn't evacuate his boat despite warnings of the savage storm in Hurricane Milton. There's one guy, it's Florida's, all on Florida's west coast. They're literally nicknaming him Lieutenant Dan. But they said that his name's Jay. He said that he was going to ride out. Oh my gosh, why? Why? In a boat.
Did you hear his response? It was, boats float.
Yeah, but dude, he rode out Hurricane Helene. Jay, an amputee, said that he's confident he can weather Milton in his boat, despite, you know, the 15-foot storm surge. Please, 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 dear heavens, be safe. That's terrible. Would you? I couldn't. No, there's no way. There's no way. Because you got the winds, in addition to the surge, you have the winds, too. And the winds are, you know, good heavens. Let's see here. This, do I really want to do this? Here's another one. I don't want a bunch of these stories. I really don't. Another Florida man said he's going to defy Milton. And he told a British publication that he loves the adrenaline. He's going to defy the you will die warning as the hurricane approaches. Aaron Pilkington. He told a British publication that he plans to defy evacuation. Okay, I don't even want to read these anymore. Stop it. You guys are playing with fire. Or water and wind, rather. Stop. Don't be doing that. It's, he said he's going to ride it out. I mean, again, and he's in an area where you get 12-foot storm surges.
Well, it could be playing with fire, actually, because we've just seen that salt water in electric vehicles will cause the cars to catch fire. So you got to be careful of that, too.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But still, I mean, I want to share this photo with you. I'm putting this in Slack because I've been seeing this on Twitter and apparently it's a real photo. I don't know. I was like, is this AI? This guy's got this Florida man has his house strapped to the ground. Right? Yeah. I'm trying to figure, are those like pool? Like, what are those? It's anchored to the ground. He's got giant straps going over his house, and it's anchored to the ground.
This looks photoshopped a little.
Is it, though?
It kind of does.
It is Florida. And if anybody has, like, some of the tools to make that happen, it would be, you know, some Floridians. I'm just saying.
Plus, as Juan is showing the photo, wouldn't those anchors have to be more anchored than actually tree roots?
Yeah, you would think so.
Or at least as strong. It appears that that's AI or Photoshop or something.
Something. But yeah, you would think.
That's an interesting idea, though.
Yeah. A Florida man busted in a $7 million Publishers Clearing House scam. Wait, there's still Publishers Clearing House?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No. The Ed McMahon guy?
Still happening.
He said he was just helping friends. According to Lauderhill Police, Leroy Alfred Vassell was arrested and charged with four counts of felony grand theft for crimes committed between October 23, February 24. According to records, he engaged in a fraudulent Publishers Clearinghouse scheme aimed at defrauding older residents. Yeah, and the Lauderhill Police Department, they indicate he was a crucial player in the scheme. Victims were deceived into believing they had won. I can't even believe that the Publishers Clearinghouse is still a thing. That's crazy. I haven't heard of that in forever. Wow. Make you feel like you're like ancient. I'm telling you. And a Florida woman claiming to be a financial mother, Teresa, is going to jail because of a $190 million Ponzi scheme. Pompano Beach MJ Capital Funding. That sounds suspicious. They said their president was often referred to as Mother Teresa because she helps hardworking people. Now she's going to be federal inmate, whatever number, because she led a ripoff of $190 million from people. And it hardly any of it actually went into businesses that needed operating capital. So she's going to jaily jail. Kel-Tec is right. Okay, so we were talking with the guys at Kel-Tec, messaging back and forth with them because they're getting prepared. They're legit right in the eye of the storm, so we're praying for them because they make some really good stuff, like the P-15. P-15 is the lightest, thinnest double-stack 9mm on the market. Two versions, metal and polymer. The metal version has the walnut wood panels. Polymer version has a gator grip texture. Striker fire pistol, awesome. From the inventors of the micro compact concealed micro compact pistol category, ultimate concealability. Two mags, one 15 round with minimal pinky extension. The other is a flush fit double stack that holds 12 rounds for heightened concealability. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable two dot rear. Legit, the lightest, thinnest 9mm on the market. You're going to want that. And you need this. In fact, you need it. You like to conceal. You want to make sure you're not losing firepower or stopping power. This is the one you got to get. It's from Kel-Tec, the P15. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C. TECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. Did you guys stay up late and watch Colbert?
No.
Did you guys? Wait a minute. Audio number three. Kamala Harris. She's just like you. She drinks beer with Stephen Colbert. Watch.
On the vibe election, everybody, all the vibes were all good. But elections, I think, are won on vibes, because one of the old saws is they just want somebody they can have a beer with.
Uh-huh.
So would you like to have a beer with me so I can tell people what that's like? Okay. Now, we asked ahead of time, because I can't just be giving a drink to the vice president of the United States without asking. You asked for Miller High Life. You
asked for High Life.
I'm just curious.
Okay, the last time I had beer was at a baseball game with Doug.
So, cheers. There you go. Ooh. That tastes like the beautiful city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
First off, I don't believe that Stephen Colbert drinks beer. No. Did you watch him? I swear, was he pinkies out with that?
He was.
I swear he was. He's pinkies out with it. Nobody believes that he drinks beer. What? That's always what Democrats default to. Look, we're drinking beer because that's what we think that regular people do. They just sit around and drink beer. Look at them, like Elizabeth Warren. Here, sweetie, would you like a beer? Nobody believes that. So she picks the Miller High Life. I'm made of jokes on this. I might short circuit. But she has the time to go on Stephen Colbert and hangs out with him. Doesn't this media blitz at this point look bad? It looks contrived and last minute, hastily put together. Now she's on Colbert. I mean, what did we start the show with? We were talking about the hurricane and people preparing for Milton and all this stuff. And she's on Colbert. She's, you know, doing her thing and she was only so much interested in Florida as she could try to stunt on it. Now she's not interested in it anymore. Now she's not saying anything else. Does that make her more like the everyman because she can go and drink beer on Colbert? Do you think that she's more the everyman? Is that actually going to sway a voter? Like, well, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't sure about Kamala Harris until I saw that we should crack open that Miller High Life. Then I was like, yep, she can handle international instability and the economy, because the way she drank that beer, she was choking it down too. I'm not making, stop. First off, all you people in Radio Land, stop sending me your thoughts, because I just about died. I heard what you said. Stop it. Kane?
You know everything was planned with this thing, right? So they probably saw the polling on which beer would trend better if she had to choose. And certainly Bud Light wasn't going to be on that list.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Miller High Life, it was. All of it is pre-programmed, pre-thought out. Everything is planned, just like that little clip we just saw.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Yeah, she didn't do the Bud Light. She picked the. Yeah, they probably did try to focus group. Let's see. How are we going to deal with this? How is that going to happen?
Milwaukee's best.
Yeah, it's to do with that. But it just, that's what they do. And I can't stand him. When he started on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, he was kind of funny. And then he just got really self-infatuated. And he really thinks that his opinions shake the earth. And that the stuff that he does on the show that nobody watches really moves the earth on its axis. Nobody cares. The only time it ever comes up is when we're making fun of him, when it's just cringe and he's just lacks the self-awareness to realize. I don't know. But no, I don't think that that's going to move anything. I don't think it is. It's not going to move anything. I think it's too little too late for her. And she's still not quick on her feet with this stuff. She really isn't. She's not quick on her feet. Like for audio soundbite one, she's talking about how she's a capitalist, but she's not. Listen.
I'm not mad at anybody for creating wealth. Good for you. You work hard. You create wealth for you and your family. Good for you. I am a capitalist.
No, you're not.
But look, I'm also a devout public servant. I know the limitations of government. But I also know that we need to make sure that everyone is paying their fair share so that we can do the work of extending, as I intend to do, the child tax credit to $6,000 for the first year of a child's life, because that young family could use that money to buy a car.
When you sit here and go, I love capitalism, but the rich should pay their fair share. We've gone over this ad nauseum. They pay everybody's fair share. They pay everyone's fair share. The top 1% pay like 3/4 of the taxes. It's insane. So that's a stupid talking point. You could confiscate the wealth of every single person that makes over $200,000 in this country, and you still wouldn't be able to touch what we owe, because it's government spending. It's not people keeping more of their own money. But furthermore, her tax policies, I mean, you're talking about a deficit of 2% in the long run for the GDP for her tax policies. You're talking about complete stagnant, I mean nothing. Drops in wages, drops in job creation. They would increase tax. She wants to increase taxes by over $4 trillion. And what for what? Government spending, entitlement. Entitlement spending, that's what she wants. She thinks that the government should be able to provide. If you think the government should be able to provide, look at how Democrats handled the hurricane aftermath with Helene in North Carolina. I mean, look at how they handled Katrina. Look at how they handled COVID, for crying out loud. I mean, this, you would raise the tax rate. We would have higher corporate taxes than China, than CCP. Which is, I mean, it's unbelievable. But that's what she's proposing. So when she sits here and says, well, you know, we got to make the rich pay their fair share. The rich do pay for their fair share. They absolutely pay their fair share. You have no right. There's no entitlement to someone else's, the fruit of someone else's labor. I'm always mystified. Why is it that all of these rich Marxists, they never take it upon themselves to write the check, an extra check to the Treasury, right? Do you ever hear like the Bill Gates people doing that? Like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to write an extra couple mil to the Treasury Department. Just going to give them a little extra. I'm not going to have them raise everybody's taxes. I'm just going to, of my own free will, just. They never do that, though, do they? Mm-mm. Interesting.
Because they know.
No, they have to. They try to shame everyone else into thinking, well, the government needs to raise taxes on everyone before I can contribute more. That's stupid. Just contribute more if you want to. I guess you just really don't care. They want to act like what they're doing is charitable, but everybody else is forced to do it, so it's a little less charitable. And they also believe that only the government has the best response and the best ways to spend money. I mean, talking about the child tax credit and all this other stuff, how about you just stop taking families' money and stop government spending and let families spend their... You know, we used to have a time where you could have a two-parent household that relied on one income. You can't do that anymore because of the economic policies, and this is just going to make it worse. You're definitely going to ensure that you would never be able, if a parent so chooses, to have one stay home with their kids, which is a valuable job. They're going to make that something that's completely unattainable, just like home ownership anymore. But this is what she's proposing. She's laughing about it. Just the lack of reading the temperature. Thank heavens for Hillsdale. I don't know what people would be eating Tide Pods everywhere if it wasn't for Hillsdale. Hillsdale is one of the last educational institutions out there. They were founded in 1844 because they, like the founders, understand education is important to preserving liberty. I mean, if you don't know what you have, then how do you know how to preserve it? And that's one of the missions. That's their mission that they have, actually, on the battleground of ideas with education. And they've been helping people sharpen their understanding and deepen their knowledge to uphold our values in this republic. They have all kinds of free resources, so you don't have to be on their campus in Southern Michigan in order to take advantage of it. They have all kinds of like educational podcasts. They have their free speech digest in Prime. And they're also giving everybody a free pocket constitution. And by everybody, I mean literally a million people. You can go to Dana4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. Get Your Free Pocket Constitution. It's part of their initiative to spread awareness about our nation's core values. And if you have one, then get one for someone who doesn't. I'm sure you know someone who does not have a pocket constitution. It is for free. You just sign up. They don't sell your information. They just need to know where to send it. And then you receive it in the mail free of charge. To get your free copy of the Pocket Constitution, visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com and fill out the form. They'll mail it to you with free shipping. Offer won't last long. So grab your Pocket Constitution today at Dana4HillsdaleHillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, Walgreens is out here calling out Waffle House. I'm kidding. A suspected thief was shot by a store employee at Walgreens in South Suburban Chicago. A store security officer that had a license to conceal carry shot a thief who pulled a gun on him. I mean, this is the story. A guy pulls a gun on a dude in a Walgreens. The dude happens to be a store security officer. The store security officer opens fire because he just had a gun pulled on him by a burglar, a robber. Duh, that's how it happens. We don't need all this word salad to try to get around that it was the bad guy who was in illegal possession and illegal usage during a felonious activity in the first place. It was Kalamazoo City Police, they were called. Walgreens was like, gang, we ain't playing. Good for him. I'm surprised now in this like environment, Walgreens didn't go, you're fired now. That was a big no-no. Bonk. Thankfully, they didn't. Vape detectors. What? Schools could get $2 million for vape detectors from a... Who cares? Priority. Who cares? They can't even do math. Well, it's a good thing they can't add 4 plus 4 because then they'd be able to do the math and figure out how much of their tax dollars are going towards vape detectors. What the heck is a vape detector? This is what you tell kids. If you want to look like a fruitcake blowing what looks like a rape whistle all the time, then go by all means, go right ahead. When I see people, you can get mad at me because I know some of you out there do it. I'm sure I do stuff that you'd make fun of too, but when I see people with vape, like they wear them like whistles, I want to just die laughing. It's the funniest thing. It's not an accessory. Anyway, why do you need a vape detector? You know how this is the vape detector. Nope, no vape. That's it. They actually have a vaping awareness public education society. And the dude who's with it goes, the detectors are actually known to not work. Yeah. But $2 million. Probably going to go off and pay somebody's mistress. Let's be real. It's not going to go towards the kids. Come on. A man who dressed like a superhero was sentenced for sex crimes. Like while he was... Wait. Okay. I'm very... Like he committed the actions while he would dress up like a superhero and sexually assault homeless people. And then he was caught on camera doing it. And they said that he filmed himself and he's a freak and he needs to be thrown off a bridge. But anyway, he got 30 days in jail and 18 months of bench probation. He pled he's had burglaries, had all kinds of stuff. But what was they didn't even tell you what superhero it was. KEZI, you're a horrible channel.
Super villain.
Shame on you.
It's a villain, not a hero.
Yeah, it's not a hero. Shame on you, Channel 9, KEZI, you horrible writing publication. Can we give you an update about the Deadspin thing with the kid? You guys remember this story? I think everybody remembers this story. This first happened. This was this kid who wore a jersey and he had his face painted up. You know, his favorite team is a 9-year-old kid, right? 9 years old. And, you know, a lot of kids, they go to some of these sports events and they want to dress up, you know, their favorite teams. They want to represent. It's not unusual. And so this kid, he was dressed up. He had the headdress on and he ended up, and I ended up just losing this piece because, of course, I did, because of Safari. He ended up getting attacked by the media. And this, one of them was Deadspin. They were trying to get this suit tossed because the family was saying that you defamed this 9-year-old. The 9-year-old had half his face painted red, half his face painted black. And he was accused originally of being in blackface. And they were saying that he was racist and all this stuff and this little boy. And when this writer, Karen Phillips, he published this piece on the little boy and it only showed one side of his face. It wouldn't show that half his face was in red, half his face was in black. And if you're watching the simulcast, those two images were taken on the same day. And so he, the writer only included the screenshot of the kid with half his face painted black, and he accused the 9-year-old of being in blackface and said that it was racist, etc. And it just went everywhere. The story just, it exploded after that. Well, clearly, you know, you're 9 years old. The lawsuit, their son, Raul Armenta, and his wife, Shannon, they filed a lawsuit on behalf of their son, because they're like, which is true. You're defaming their kid. And I mean, it's wild. And the dad himself, and I'm looking at this, the dad himself is like a member of an indigenous nation. And they showed, the first images came on CBS, and they showed the little kid for like 3 seconds, and they could see the audience. Everybody could see his red and black face paint. And then CBS, you know, was showing others. And then for some reason, Deadspin only showed one side of his face. And they said the NFL needs to speak out against the Kansas City Chiefs fan in blackface native headdress. So this guy at Deadspin, you guys remember this piece, made a whole article. He literally accused this kid of representing racism, and then demanded that the NFL speak out about this 9-year-old dressing up as, you know, his favorite football team, for his favorite football team to honor them at a game. And it went gangbusters. The guy wrote, it takes a lot to disrespect two groups of people at once. But this Kansas City Chiefs fan found a way to hate black people and Native Americans at the same time. That's literally what the guy wrote about this 9-year-old. He alleged that the parents, Shannon and Raul, taught the 9-year-old racism and hate at home. Like, he never even met the Armenta family, but he wrote about them as though they were a bunch of like Klans people who hated everybody and were raising, you know, a future terrorist or something. It was one of the wildest. I mean, this guy's a grown man who went after a 9-year-old. He demanded that the entire NFL weigh in on this kid. Well, understandably, you know, that's not what happened. That's not what the 9-year-old was doing. And he's 9. And it never occurred to him that, you know, he wasn't thinking about race. He wasn't thinking about anything. He's 9 years old. And his dad is in the Santa Ynez band he works in a tribal reservation. He's literally a member of an indigenous nation. Like literally an actual participating voting member of an indigenous nation. And his grandfather was a tribal elder. But Karen Phillips only just saw what he wanted to see. And he, you know, this kid was not parodying anything. This kid is, you know, he's kids don't dress up as things that they make fun of. And so anyway, they went to court because this 9-year-old, I mean, his whole name is drug through the mud. His image is drug through the mud. I mean, can you imagine if the parents had not pushed back on this? What would have happened? Say this kid decided to go for Supreme Court one day. Well, we found a picture of you, little 9-year-old Holden, in blackface. Look, Deadspin said so. If you don't think that couldn't happen, look what they did to Kavanaugh. Look what they did to Kavanaugh. He was in high school. Look what they did. Well, you know, let's look at what Holden did when he was 9 years old. If the parents had not pushed back on that, that absolutely would have happened. They had to. They had to litigate it to save their child. They had to litigate it to correct the court of public opinion. And the family, because of that Deadspin article, the family got so much hate. They got so many threats. People were threatening to kill him. The father, people started showing up at the dad's work. The family was actually considering moving out of state. His test scores, the kid's test scores and grades dropped. According to court filings, they had to get a therapist for him because he was just destroyed by what this Karen Phillips was writing about him and what he did. That dude never apologized. He never did anything. He willfully decided to lie about this 9-year-old kid. And so now Deadspin, the parents filed suit. They said that, they were making the case for the 9-year-old and saying this is what happened to him. This is how he was treated by this Deadspin writer. And how, you know, the Deadspin tried to incite a mob against him. And so Deadspin was trying to, at first, they republished an edited version that maintained all the accusations of racism and kept the 9-year-old's picture and made him like this giant bigot. And then they updated the article for the second time. They removed the 9-year-old's picture and they changed the headline to read, "The NFL must ban native headdress." And the family wasn't happy. All of the original accusations were still out there, so they sued for defamation. So Deadspin tried to dismiss it. They said the article's opinion and it's protected from liability for defamation. But the judge said, no, you literally targeted this kid. You absolutely targeted this kid. You targeted this kid. You used his image. You invoked his family. You did all of this. So that was tossed out. And they were absolutely, they've been remorseless this entire time. They have been entirely remorseless. So now it's going to go forward. And the Delaware trial court judge, Sean Lugg, in Armenta versus Geo Media, Sean Lugg wrote that they wrote to this effect. And so they're allowing that defamation claim to go forward. I hope this kid owns Deadspin. But when it's said and done, I hope he owns everything that Karen Phillips has ever made in his life. I hope he takes his home. I hope he takes his bank account. I hope he takes everything that he has ever worked to accrue. And I hope that Karen Phillips has to beg for mercy from this 9-year-old. And I hope this 9-year-old shows Karen Phillips the mercy and maturity that Karen Phillips, a grown-ass man, didn't show him.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.